Welcome to Small Business Spoonfuls Podcast, a laid-back discussion of the serious HR topics and trends of today. Sponsored by helpdeskforhr.com.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Small Business Spoonfuls. I'm Lisa Smith, and I'm here joined today with Mason Merrill. How's it going, Mason?
Going pretty good. Glad to be here again with you, talking about some interesting topics.
Yeah, I know. We have some interesting topics. We have a great one for today. But before we do that, I want to let everybody who's listening know that at the end of today's episode, we are going to give a special offer to our listeners. So stick around for the end because you do not want to miss this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very special offer that only our listeners can receive. So.
That's right. And so anyway, we're not going to say anything else because we're going to address this in a little more detail later. So,
yeah.
Okay. So today's topic is one of the Ask HR Support series that we've been doing where we take actual questions that have come in and we answer them. So we teased it in last week's episode that the topic question for today is, my customer said their snake is a service snake. Is that a thing?
Yeah, you know, this. That when I was 20-something or late teenager, early 20-something, I had an opportunity to, somebody was going to give me their ball python. You know, so it's just kind of, I kind of brought up that memory, and the people I was living with at the time were like, no. So you can see how this topic would turn off an employee if the customer's like, oh, I have to bring this in your business because this is my service snake. So interesting subject and how to broach it here, because a lot of people are very, no matter how passive a snake can be, it's always a sign in your head to be like, oh, snap, I don't want to be near that thing.
Yes, we're all like, not all of us, but a lot of us are terrified when it comes to snakes. Like we don't want anywhere, you know, we don't want them near us or, you know, anything. But a lot of people love snakes. And so it would make sense that you might have a customer that comes into your, you know, place of business and you're a little taken aback by the snake. And they say, oh, well, this is a service animal.
Yeah.
And so our question, you know, was, is that a thing? Can a snake be a service animal?
Right. And how do we not get sued if we want to ask about it?
Exactly. Because there are rules, you know, under the ADA about service animals. And this could be whether it's for your employee or your customers. And so this particular question was about a customer. But so we want to look at the criteria that we have to review in order to make this decision. So if you need to know if someone's animal is a service animal, this could be a dog, it could be a cat, it could be a chicken, it could be a rooster, you know, it could be a snake. Okay. Like whatever they're presenting to you, if you want to know, is this a bona fide service animal? There are only two questions you're allowed to ask.
Yeah.
And the first one is this animal, fill in the blank, a service animal required because of a disability? And then all they have to say is yes or no. They don't have to say, well, yes, I have this disability. They just have to say, yes, yes, it's required because of a disability. And then the next question that you ask is, okay, what work or task has the snake been trained to perform? And then they have to tell you in a fair amount of detail, like, you know, like how this works. Like, well, this is a snake that has been trained that if I'm about to have a seizure, it, you know, bites me, or it tightens itself around me, or it does something, it crawls through my hair. Like, I don't know. Can you even train a snake to do that? I don't know. But you know, service dogs, seizure dogs are very common, and they are trained to bark, nudge the person, you know, jump up on the person, do various things, you know, when a seizure is about to occur, for instance. And so what work has this animal, has this snake been trained to do?
Right.
Yeah. And so that's going to be a hard question to ask or to answer. And it should be answered, you know, like pretty rapidly, because if you've got an animal that's been trained, you know the details of it.
Yeah.
And so the person shouldn't have to sit there and try to think it up on the spot.
Right. Yeah. If they're bringing this service animal into an establishment, you know, they've been you know, instructed when they got whatever it was. I don't know how it works getting a service animal, but whatever that process went through, I'm sure they've been instructed of how to answer these questions. So you is the business owner, employer, whatever it may be, you have the right to ask those two questions, but there are some questions that you cannot like request of. And that is on the spot, requesting any documentation that the dog or service animal is registered, licensed, or certified as a service animal. So you can't see any documentation.
Right. That's right. You cannot ask for that.
And then you cannot require that the service animal demonstrates its task. So you can't say, dog, bark, because I'm seizing. You know, that's just not a real thing. Or inquire about the nature of the person's disability. So you can't be like, well, what's wrong with you then? You know, you can't really talk about the disability. You can ask, what is the dog or the service animal been trained to perform? Like you said, maybe the snake tightens, maybe it starts moving around its body, you know, the person's body, if they're having, you know, signs of something that's going on. But you can't talk about that disability and get into the thick of what's going on with the disability.
Yeah. And so it can be very deceiving, because there are places you can go online and buy these vests, like for your dog or maybe your snake, I don't know, but for your animal, that looks like they're a service vest, right? Yeah. Service animal vest, but they're not required to wear them. So they don't have to be dressed in a certain uniform to be a service animal.
Yeah. And I would say probably, you know, I've seen, you know, just being in Walmart or different grocery stores or whatever, where somebody brings a service animal in, 9 times out of 10, you see that vest on the animal. And so sometimes you won't, but like a lot of times the people who have these disabilities that need these service animals are fully equipped with whatever they need to keep it in a safe environment that it's not going to cause a problem for your business.
Right. And so, you know, so this is interesting, because there is a difference between service animals and emotional support animals.
Right.
And business owners and employers, but business owners do not have to allow emotional support animals inside their business if they don't want to, right?
Right. And that's why you can ask that question.
Right. Because if they say, oh no, this isn't a service animal, this is my emotional support snake. We don't allow snakes in the building. And if they try to go down and, you know, get you in trouble somewhere, try to sue you or try to report you to, you know, some organization, then, I mean,
really
the law is on your, on. The law is on your side. Yeah. Because service animals are only the ones that are allowed. And in some settings, even a service animal wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
And so what kind of setting could you think that might be? It could be like, let's say you're in a hospital and you bring a dog that's shedding a lot, and that could compromise a sterile environment.
Right.
Right. So that would be an area that a service animal would not be allowed to come into. Generally, service animals that are bona fide service animals can't be restricted from most areas.
Right,
but if there is a threat, a danger, you know, something like that, then that could be an extenuating circumstance where you could deny entry.
Yeah. So it's very rare. Your average business is not going to be able to deny entry to a service animal, but there are some exceptions to the rule. And usually, once again, the people carrying the service animals know what those exceptions are.
Yes. And also, you want to think this through for your organization. Like, are you going to allow emotional support animals? Are you going to allow, you know, what are you going to make exceptions for? Because, like, for instance, the airlines. So there are emotional support animals that are allowed on the airplane. And generally, those are restricted to dogs and cats and domesticated animals, because people were literally bringing peacocks, chickens. What was another one? Like miniature horses all sorts of things. They were bringing those on airplanes.
Yeah.
And for a while, yeah.
Yeah. And for, like you said, for a while that was okay, but that, I mean, that can be unsafe in some circumstances.
Exactly. And it was just too much interference with other passengers as well. And so the, you know, the airlines finally said, we're going to cut this out. We're going to limit emotional support animals to a few animals. And then we're also going to require, you know, like if it's truly a service animal, you need to answer these questions, but you're not bringing a horse on, you know, to the airplane. I mean, that's just something we're not going to do anymore, you know? And so, we have to think about too, you know, does the animal have the ability to be trained? And so I don't know if a snake can be trained or not. I know dogs and cats can be, you know,
and snakes can be trained. I don't know about service animal trained, or I've never heard of that before. I mean, probably a quick Google could look that up for sure.
So if you're a business owner and you're struggling with this question, like, should we come up with a list of, you know, bona fide service animals that can be trained, you know, definitely, you know, start looking that up, get some help with it, you know, whatever, but make sure your policy is valid and it's legal and it's going to keep your company safe so that you don't turn away an animal that truly was a service animal. And because you're limited on what you can ask and you can't require they show you a document, that it has to be a really solid judgment call that you're making there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like you said, emotional support animals, you can write policies about, hey, we don't allow it at all, or we allow this or that or whatnot. That's absolutely 100% in your control. So really getting to the point of differentiating, is this a service animal? Because, you know, somebody not knowing, bringing a support animal or an emotional support animal into your business may say, oh yeah, it's a service animal. You know, and then you say you, and then you can differentiate what it is by the next question. Well, what work or task has the animal been trained to do? And then they say, well, it just keeps me calm all the time. You know, well, that's not a service animal, right, Lisa?
Right. No, that's correct. I mean, maybe a person says, well, I just suffer from anxiety disorder and this cat or this dog or this snake keeps me calm. Snake keeps me calm and makes me feel secure. Well, that's not it. That snake hasn't been trained to do anything to alert you or assist you.
Yeah. It's essentially like saying, I need my blankie, you know, like, and that's
exactly,
some people need that. Like like nothing against emotional support animals. It's just, these are the things you can create guidelines on for your business.
Yeah. I mean, I have emotional support grandkids, you know, just like hugging them makes me like, oh, feel so good. And so, you know, so relaxed compared to.
Doesn't mean I can take them into a store and say they're a service. No, I'm just kidding.
It doesn't mean they're going to be allowed in a store. That's right. Because there are other things to consider with those grandkids, but you know, so maybe that wasn't the best example. But, you know, I mean, it is true. Like, you know, you could have a cat or a dog or a snake or some other form of animal that really just, it just feels good when you hug that animal.
Yeah.
And it makes you like, okay, calm down and deflate a little bit. That doesn't mean it was trained or it's actually actively doing anything to assist you other than just living.
Right.
You know? Yeah,
exactly. So those are the things you want to differentiate. I think we covered this topic pretty well. It's always an interesting question because, you know, in the moment, it's hard to be like, especially if you're snake, like, you know, if you're not a snake person, you know, like the people that I lived with at the time, they were not snake people. And the thought of that snake getting away from my room and just roaming about their house was like, oh my gosh, I can't even fathom that. So a lot of people are like that. And when it comes to your business, that, you know, it's a shocking thing in the moment to see, you know, a big dog or a snake or somebody bringing something in. So main thing, keep your cool, ask the right questions and proceed, you know, with caution, but also have good policies in place that help you proceed along the path of making the right decision.
That's right. That's right. So hopefully this helped you out. And if you need more information on this, hit us up at support@helpdeskforhr.com.
And if you have any crazy stories, we would love to hear them. Any, you know, I say crazy, but any like wild stories, like somebody brought this into my business and it was an emotional support animal. And I had to tell them to go, we would love to hear those type of things. And we will talk about them on the podcast for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Tell us all your stories. We would love to help other people learn too from your experiences. Yeah,
exactly. So let's get to the special part. So we appreciate all of our listeners, and we wanted, as we always talk about, we are helpdeskforhr.com. We're a membership website where you can find endless resources, ask questions, make handbooks, use our application suite for all kinds of different things. And we wanted to give our listeners a special offer. Normally, our price is $8.99. And we want to give everyone a special podcast offer to a special offer where you can purchase our services for $6.75, which is a pretty big discount.
Yeah, it's a huge discount. So that is $8.99 annually is the regular rate. And so for being a listener, $675 annually. And guess what? You're locked in. So yeah, it's not just for this year and then you get jumped up to $8.99 next year. You, as long as your account stays active, you know, and it doesn't lapse, you will pay $675 annually and you will not have a price raise. You know, right, price exactly. increase, I should say. So yeah, so this is a really big deal and we really appreciate you being a listener. So we wanted to make this available to you.
Absolutely. So you can click the link in the show notes for the sign up. Also put a link for our getting started section so you can see what all is included with Help Desk for HR if you're not familiar with it. We have some new applications. We just put out a brand new, really cool performance evaluation center to help you do performance evaluations really easily digitally, you know, and so that's one of our big features that we've just put out and we're looking to even advance more throughout this year. So you can click the link, use the code SBS podcast, and that'll give you your discount in the sign up section where that link is. And I'll put all this information in the show notes as well, so you can have it really easily there as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we're just really looking forward to growing our family over at helpdeskforhr.com. We've got roughly, 5,000 or 6,000 active members, and it's just wonderful when we bring on new members to the little family. So jump on board with us because we keep you updated. We give you tools. We give you conversation that you cannot get anywhere else.
Well, we were just talking about writing a policy for an emotional support animal. If you're looking at writing a policy, you send us that policy. We'll edit it up for you, give you suggestions, whatever you need to help you out, get that policy right and make sure it's, you know, above board. You're not going to get audited and sued over it.
And not to mention, we have like 700 plus samples of forms and documents and policies and procedures in our library, you know, that you can just pull from anytime and go in and edit yourself, like templates and things. Like, you know, why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, we have a mobile app where you can write your questions. You can search through all those policies and documents and grab them right on the go. All kinds of stuff. So many things. Obviously we want to promote our services, but we're here to help people in general. And that's what our mission is. That's what your mission is when you started this. So, you
know. Yeah, it is. The mission is to just help small to medium-sized businesses achieve and maintain compliance with employment laws. And that's what we're here for. And, you know, we've been in business for 11 years now, and we have met that mission and continue to do so. Yeah. So,
and our members love it. You know, we don't have a member that's like, that really engages with us, that's not like, I can't live without this service anymore. That's the kind of member base we've built. And that's the kind of, we stand behind our work. So,
yeah. And our members are wonderful. And yeah. I could start calling out names right now, but you know who you are, you know, because we interact enough that you know who you are.
Yeah,
and all 8,000 of you.
That's right.
But you know, and so we really appreciate all of our members and all the feedback they give us and all the support.
Right. So, okay, well, I think that'll pretty much wrap up our show today. You can find us at helpdeskforhr.com. Follow us on Twitter at helpdeskforhr. That's where you can comment on our podcasts and things like that. And go ahead and tee us up for next week, Lisa.
Okay, so next week we are going to be discussing performance reviews. And there have been some studies and surveys conducted recently by our group, as well as by Gallup and other organizations. And we're going to talk about those, and we're going to find out, why are they important? When might it be scary to do performance reviews, and what might be an indicator that your company's not ready for them yet? And what also would be the repercussions of not doing them at all? And so it seems like a two-sided coin, and we're going to break down those two sides and really let you know what you need to do, how, and when.
Okay, awesome. Look forward to that. And with that, go ahead and take us out.
Yeah, well, like we always say, nobody can be audit proof, okay? If anybody ever tells you, we're going to audit proof your business, just close up your ears and stop listening, because right. You can't be audit proof.
That's a scam.
That's a scam. That's right. I mean, I'm an EEOC certified investigator. I'm telling you, you can't be audit proof. You can't be investigation proof. But if you take the advice that we give you here at helpdeskforhr.com, you follow the steps, you read the statutes, you learn the requirements, then you can feel secure the day that that auditor, investigator, or litigator knocks on your door. So we always say, be audit secure.
If you would like to learn more about our team and the services we provide, head over to helpdeskforhr.com. Our 8,000 plus members enjoy the essential training, tools, and support they need to keep up with ongoing legal changes, as well as maintaining solid HR and employment law compliance. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you like what you hear, we'd love to hear from you, either by leaving us a review, or you can email us at support@helpdeskforhr.com.